We're so lucky that we get to perform at the Kennedy Center with some regularity. This is the summer of 2011, and this is our eighth time here. We've been coming here since 1994, and every time I see a picture of the Kennedy Center, or I watch the Kennedy Center honors on television in the week between Christmas and New Year's, or I drive across the bridge across the Potomac and I see it there on the river, I go, my God, I am privileged to perform in that joint. And the man who brings us here and the man who fills all the theaters, however many theaters there are here at the Kennedy Center, is Max Woodward, and he has agreed to chat with us this week on the Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast. Max, thank you very much for doing this and for bringing us here so many times.
Well, it's all my pleasure. I mean, you're an incredible group of people, and having you around is heaven on earth for us.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 241, The Kennedy Center. In all the combined years we've been doing the podcast and coming to the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., we have never sat down for a chat with the man responsible for bringing us here year after year, Max Woodward. Max was good enough to sit down with me backstage before a recent performance and tell me what this fantastic institution looks like from his perspective. Did I get that right? Is that your job title? Is that what you do? You fill the theaters, the many venues under the John F. Kennedy Performing Arts roof?
Well, my job title is Vice President for Theater Programming, and I do the theater series here, so I bring all the shows in. And when I have the great privilege when we produce shows, I'm the producer for the shows. So that's basically what I do here.
So you produced the recent Follies that's about to go to Broadway?
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, it was absolutely a gift to do that show and to work with such incredible people. We've done some wonderful things here. I mean, the Sondheim Celebration probably would be the highlight of my career working at the Kennedy Center. Of course, I've been here. It'll be 40 years in September.
Wow. So you were here for Annie, right?
Well, Annie was in 77. Yeah, I certainly was here. I mean, that was an absolute joy. I mean, I sat there and watched the first dress run through, and I thought, I wish I had money to throw at this, because you just knew it was going to be the biggest hit. And I have such great and fond memories of that show, and actually to this day I have some great friends from that show. It was a joy.
Well, what are some of the other shows that the Kennedy Center and you have produced that have gone on?
Well, Ragtime, which we did 2 years ago, and generally we produce stuff. We produce it for ourselves. It's not to be produced to go on.
Right.
It's shows that we feel that need to be seen again or to be reworked. And so we did Ragtime, and we hired Marcia Milgram Dodge to direct, who did an extraordinary job of taking this mammoth work and doing what she did with it.
Reducing it?
Well, she didn't exactly reduce it, but, you know, it's basically just one set. Because if you remember the original, I mean, it was an immense piece of theater that they did, and she reduced it to just basically one set. And then all of a sudden, next thing you knew, we were on our way to New York, which is never our plan.
Right.
I mean, even the Follies, which wasn't our plan to take to New York, but it got such strong reviews and such incredible cast, and it's actually time for a good production to go to New York.
Yeah, well, it absolutely is. I mean, The Follies is one of those musicals that you hear about and you never get to see.
And
it kills me that it closed the night before we got here.
Well, you have the opportunity. It'll be starting in New York on August the 7th, okay. Matinee. It's our first performance. Official opening will be September 12th, and we're playing through the end of the year.
Well, and the Kennedy Center is arguably America's national theater. There was talk in the 60s and 70s of we need to have a national theater like England has a national theater, and I don't think we ever got one.
They tried.
They tried, okay. But I think, you know, you could argue the Kennedy Center is here in our nation's capital, that you have resources to do the kinds of things that other theaters can't do. For instance, like you talked about the Sondheim Festival, and you did a Tennessee Williams Festival.
We did a Tennessee Williams Festival. We did three of his shows. We also did August Wilson. We did all 10 of the shows. They were very elaborate stage readings. And it's the first time all 10 have ever been done at one time. We did them in rep, and then at the very last, we added the last week, and then we did absolutely all of them in chronological order. Oh. And amazing month of theater here at the center for that. You know, we've done a major revival of MAME, Mr. Roberts, Carnival, and that's just in the last couple of years.
It does seem as if you, I mean, we've been coming here, as I said, since 1984. It does seem like you've stepped up. Have you stepped up things in the last couple of years?
Oh, absolutely.
How? How in this recession and why?
Well, the self-producing it has helped us tremendously, and because we're doing stuff that nobody else is doing, and we're doing it very big. And we do the musicals. You know, we don't cut down the orchestra. We don't cut down the cast. We're just doing Follies right now. Yeah. It's a cast of 41 people, and we always use the full orchestration, which is 28 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow.
I mean, it's the same thing we did with MAME. We did all the stuff with Sondheim, but nothing was cut down.
Wow.
We do what the authors and the book writers and the composer and lyricist intended the show to be.
And you're fortunate that you have the resources to be able to do this. But has there been an artistic mission to kind of, you know, we need to do more of this stuff. We need to jump up, or has it stepped up, or am I imagining that?
No, I think it has stepped up tremendously. But the resources, I mean, we have an extraordinary list of people who sponsored the Kennedy Center, and we're very grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, and yet, you don't only produce your own stuff, you also present in the sense of bringing in other companies like the British Shakespeare Company.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, the British Shakespeare, and it's our favorite, top of the list every year.
Yes, of course. Yes.
But, you know, we bring all the Broadway shows that certainly the people want to see. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people like to try out their shows here, going to New York, too.
Do you feel like you can do anything here at the Kennedy Center? I mean, are there shows that you've wanted to do that you couldn't do?
No, I mean, we can certainly do anything, but nothing has been left behind that we didn't want to do.
Like Book of Mormon is such a hit on Broadway now. Do you think you could bring that down here?
Well, I mean, it's in the talks. I mean, there's a lot of things in the talk. I mean, you know, it's not a show that is for everybody.
Right.
I've never laughed so hard in my life at this. And the things they are saying, the things they are doing, and you just go, oh, my God, and you're just laughing out loud.
Well, I just listened to it with Quincy, you know, and it's shocking, but it's not mean-spirited?
No, not at all. You know, and in fact, apparently the Mormon Church has said, oh, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there are some words in there that the average teen or preteen doesn't know, but maybe they should know, and maybe they should know the context in which it's being said.
I think teens nowadays know everything.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing.
I mean, not like when I was a teen, I know nothing.
Yeah, there was one or two words I heard on the soundtrack. I went, I'll have to write that down. But I remember when I was a teen and my brothers and sisters were preteens, you know, Chorus Line was the big new thing, and Tits and Ass was a...
And, you know, that was just being blared in my living room, you know, with my parents who were born in 1930.
The other thing that impresses me so much about the Kennedy Center is that your outreach seems phenomenal. I mean, because you've got all these different stages going on. And so that's one question one. But question two is, you also, we've noticed for our first performances here at the sports show, you've managed to get sports fans coming into the theater. We can tell they're sports fans because they're yelling at us and kibitzing with us.
The jokes.
And they get the jokes. And they're going, throw the bum out. You know, they're kind of walk it off. They're yelling at us like we're athletes on a field and they're pissed at us. It's like, but that's rare for some of the theaters we're performing at. I mean, you guys are managing to bring in the right crowd.
Well, I mean, we have an incredible marketing, and particularly a press department knows where to go to get those people.
Yeah.
I mean, they got all the news broadcasters, and they went out and got all the sports bars people out here.
Yeah.
And that's what you need.
Yeah. So how many theaters do you have to keep filled here at the Kennedy Center? How many venues are there?
Well, there's
yeah, take your time.
Okay, we have the theater lab, which Shared Madness is in, and it's 24th year.
Right.
We have the Terrace Theater, which we always have the incredible Redo Shakespeare Company in as much as we can. We have the Eisenhower Theater, the Opera House, the Concert Hall. You have the Family Theater for Children's Theater. And we have two millennium stages, one on each end of the Grand Foyer, and which is free performances every evening at 6 o'clock.
365 days a year.
365 days a year, including Christmas, Thanksgiving, Shavuot, anything.
Right. That's nine, by my count, nine stages. You almost needed a foot to count how many venues you have in this. There's always something going on, and I always feel like we're fortunate to be here because if people come in to see whatever, right now they've got Wicked and Next to Normal on. If they come in here to see that and they can't get in, oh, well, let's go see this Redo Shakespeare Company thing.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no other reason to be down in this part of Washington, D.C. It's the one drag about performing here is that there isn't, you don't get people just wandering by. People come to the Kennedy Center.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, they have all kind of shuttle buses to bring you here also. Lots and lots of parking spaces.
Tons of parking spaces and reasonably priced. Before 9/11, before the recession, there were these wonderful plans to create a river entrance.
Well, that's still in the docket.
Okay.
I'm Michael Whitmore, director of the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Well, for one more week until July 24th, 2011, we'll be in Washington, D.C. at the Kennedy Center performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged. Then we take August off and return to touring in September with performances of The Complete World of Sports Abridged in Gainesville, Florida, Athens, Georgia, Decatur, Alabama, New York City at the New Victory Theater, Yakima, Tacoma, and Edmonds, Washington, Reston, Virginia, New Bremen, Ohio, Kent State in Ohio, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, in Waverly, Iowa, and Santa Rosa, California. We'll also be giving two performances of All the Great Books Abridged at Pepperdine University in Malibu and Caltech in Pasadena, California. And we'll be premiering our eighth stage production, The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Max Woodward, who will happily answer any question I put to him. Are there things that you want to do that you can talk about?
No.
No. But there's things you want to do.
Not until we do a press announcement.
But okay. But there are...
We don't talk about it.
You don't talk about it.
Lots of stuff in the works. Absolutely, a lot of great stuff coming up in the next... Actually, in the next 3-4 years. We planned that far out.
You know what? It's... I mean, I've been on the mailing list since we started coming here. But you know, if you really want to see how much the Kennedy Center is doing, just get on their mailing list. Go to kennedy-center.org and get on the mailing list because there's so much going on. You'll sort of be amazed, and it might just make you want to come to Washington, D.C.
Well, the biggest bargain also is become a member. You have like $60. Become a member of the Kennedy Center. You get the news every other month that we send out. Has all the stuff coming up for the next month, the next years, and when we do. Particularly a really hot show goes on sale, members get first choice after the subscribers, of course.
Of course, of course. do you get to travel much, or are you required to travel much in your job? Are you going out to see other things that you might want to come down here?
Well, I generally travel mostly to New York. I actually was in London recently because the Book of Mormon, I'm sorry, War Horse.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about bringing it here, and so I went and saw the show there, and it may be in our future.
Oh, that's lovely. I remember you and I bumped into each other in Times Square.
Oh, yeah. I'm always in New York.
Well, and I'm never in New York, so it felt like, oh, I'm having such a showbiz moment here.
Yeah, I go to New York. I mean, I'm also a Tony voter, so I get to see everything.
Oh, that's great.
But even if I wasn't, I would still see everything because, you know, it's part of the job. Right. You have to know what's out there, what's good, what our audiences would like.
Yeah. So. Do you bring in stuff that you don't like personally?
There is that. But
every now and then, yes.
Every now and then. I mean, you don't love everything.
Right.
But obviously, there are things out there that are such enormous hits that the audience will take that I don't particularly have to like. But I gear it to the audience. I can't gear it to myself.
Right. What
what's your background? How does one train to be a Max Woodward? You know?
Actually, when the Kennedy Center opened, I was an usher.
Oh, really?
And that was in like September of 71.
You did open this place.
Yeah.
It was like a week after it opened, I started. Uh-huh.
And did you go to school for arts management, or you just you failed up?
I failed up.
Really? That's really cool. Wow, because you were around?
Yeah, I was around, and the place was just brand new. Mm-hmm. And it was run like a mom and pop theater company.
Yeah.
So it was really, and of course, Roger Stevens was the head of it, who was pretty sensational. It was one kind of sort of got just building up and running and forever. No, but I was not sure for maybe about a year, but then I kind of sort of was a terminal auditor after a while. I got a full-time job here.
Uh-huh.
And then I became the manager of the Eisenhower for about 18 years, and I was general manager for all the theaters.
Okay.
And then just went into just doing the programming now.
Great. Boy, you are the Kennedy Center. You've been here the longest of anybody, haven't you?
No, there's a couple of people who've been here longer than me.
Oh, some of those are really old ushers. So
really old.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your programming tips via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduce Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, Kennedy Off-Center Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Dan Travers. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Mike Whitmore, the executive director of the Folger Shakespeare Library. I interviewed him this week for a podcast, which you will hear in a few weeks. Thanks to all the podcast listeners we are meeting here in D.C. Thank you for introducing yourself to me. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 241 724ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I mean, as I said, it is just a huge privilege for us to be here, and we love coming here, and I don't know what's going to happen to us should you get hit by a bus.
Oh, I'm sure that there's a lot of other great people in this building who take care of you.
Yeah, the only thing we would ask you to do is just get rid of sheer madness, put us in the theater lab 365 days a year. Is that going to happen anytime soon?
I don't think so.
Damn, I had you on the record, too. This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.